Whoever said curiosity killed the cat was probably a person that just wanted to control cats. Don't ask too many questions, you cats. Because for me, curiosity is one of the most powerful things that I can cultivate, kind of like working on cultivating gratitude, making my brain see possibility in things rather than negativity in things. It's a thing you can work on, and it's something that can transform difficulty into possibility. It can transform sadness into joy. I wanted to chat a bit about that, but I am currently curious about how our mortgage repayments are going, so let's play some ads to help out with that. And I'll be back after the break.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com, code program.
G'day, this is Better Than Yesterday, helping you make today better than yesterday since 2013. My name is Oshie Ginsberg. I am a podcaster, a best-selling author, a husband, a dad, a stepdad, a bicycle-bound jackhammer locator, and I'm very glad you're here. You may be able to. There's a massive freaking jackhammer in the background digging through the Sydney sandstone near our home. And this morning, our youngest, Wolfie, he's 4 and a bit. We could hear it and, you know, he's 4 and a bit. Diggers and jackhammers are pretty exciting. Wolfie's got a pair of kid-size PPE ear protector things that he puts on whenever I'm like doing a leaf blowing or working with a saw or something around the house. And so we put a cap on, we put these things on, and he and I, we walked around the neighborhood and we went to a building site down the street because we live in a fairly dense neighborhood. Went to a building site down the street, saw some tradies walking out. Excuse me, guys, have you seen the jackhammer? Nah, man. Sorry, I haven't found it. Wolf says, thank you. And we kept walking around, couldn't find it. So we walked back to our house. We walked around a whole block. We couldn't find it. We walked back to our house and I said, hey, mate, I think we might need to get on our bicycle to ride around a bit because it's so loud, it's echoing around the neighborhood. So it's making it a little bit hard to find, but on a bicycle, I reckon we could find it well quick. He said, you got it. So traded their hats, our sun hats for our bike helmets on the bicycle we went. And sure enough, it was a few streets away. And we found it. This massive big yellow jackhammer digging through the Sydney sandstone. And it was really fun. And he said, oh, let's take a photo and send it back to Mum. Because we told Mum, we're off to go find the jackhammer. It was a fun half an hour. Something to do while Audrey was having a coffee in peace. Now, what he and I did this morning is something that I have kind of always done, something that I learned off my parents. I just like to know. Sometimes I can get a bit too curious, but I've learned how to figure that line out. I'll talk to you about that in a bit. My parents are both very curious people, and I kind of got that as well. I'm just a curious person. Both my parents were doctors, all right? And as a doctor, it's really important. You've got to be curious. You've got to wonder, like, what is this? What could it be? What else could it be? Why is this like that? When we were kids, sometimes after my folks split up, you know, Dad would take us on the weekends, as happens. And this is before you know, the docks had changed down in Brisbane, but on the river there, where the Gateway Bridge is now, I was little, I don't know, maybe 9 or 10, it was actually docks where ships would pull up and, you know, not container ships, but ships that had other stuff in them, I don't know. And we were walking down the docks and Dad was fascinated by these huge, huge boats. And we were at the end of one gangplank one Sunday. It was a cold Brisbane day, so I don't know, 23 degrees. I remember wearing a jacket. And Dad saw a bloke walking down the gangplank. It wasn't a massive container ship, but it wasn't small. And I don't know what was in there, but it might have been grain or shit, I don't know. And Dad said hello to the guy. And the guy spoke back. He must have had a bit of an accent. I think Dad threw some Polish at him because Dad grew up in Prague. So he had a bit of Russian, bit of Polish, bit of German. And the guy's like, oh, it's good. And to my horror, because I'm a kid and, you know, when you're a kid, you're embarrassed by your parents. To my horror, Dad asked with his kind of broken Polish or bit of English, could we come inside and have a look? And this sailor, this salty sea dog, this merchant seaman kind of guy, he was probably in his early 30s. Remember, he had a mustache and a beanie. He's like, yeah. And he was just stoked. Like, come on in. And so up the gangplank we went. And I'm terrified. I'm a lot better now. I think it's called lassophobia, but I used to be so scared of the water underneath the docks where it was kind of dark and the pylons went down below where I couldn't see. Since I've been a snorkeler and a scuba diver, I'm cool with it now. But at the time, I was horrified that we were walking over this gangplank and it was so far down. I remember the edge of the boat was really far down. And we went inside and, you know, I'm terrified. I was like, oh, Dad, no. And him and Dad were chatting away, this bloke, this sailor, and Dad were chatting away. And he took us on the deck and big through these huge, big metal doors. And next thing you know, we're below decks. I don't think I'd ever been anywhere that wasn't in some way able to see natural light. I don't think I'd ever been in a room that didn't have a window, and I'll never forget the smell, all right? Because, you know, when you're on a boat like that, there's not a lot of space, and so the kitchen and the living quarters are all very close, you know, towards the bridge. I remember the smell of the cooking. It was like if you've ever watched someone cook dinner, like by putting a can of food on a fire in a campsite, it smelled like that. It smelled like just stewed things. It was thick. The air was thick and, you know, light was artificial. And it was wild. But that's the kind of person my dad was. He was a rheumatologist. They're very clever ones, those ones, because it's kind of weird. Rheumatic disorders are odd. But yeah, whoever said curiosity killed the cat is probably someone who's trying to control cats, as far as I'm concerned. That's pointless. Come on. Cats cannot be herded. We have proved that. It's science. You can't argue with it. But curiosity is one of the more powerful ways that you can transform a situation that is difficult or uncomfortable. It starts by just sitting with whatever feeling that you've got, noticing it, and then asking why. What's going on there? Why do I feel angry? Oh, I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling agitated. Why is that? What happened? What's my part in that? Now, my part in that could be, someone said something fairly benign to me, but I'm very, very sensitive to any kind of criticism. So rather than be with my inability to handle criticism, I am, you know, kind of projecting and now insisting that other people speak to me differently. All right. I have a part in this. What can I do about it? What's another way to look at this? When I'm teaching Wolfie how to, like we're building Lego or stuff like that, and he can't get something in this way, I tell him, flip it around, look at it the other way. And we turn the Lego model upside down. And sure enough, when you look at the problem from the other direction, you're able to fix it a lot easier because suddenly you've got the same solution in mind, but you're looking at it from a completely different starting point. So yeah, what's another way to look at this? Just because I'm seeing it this way and my feelings are because of the way I'm seeing it, what's another way that I could see it? Now, if it's to do with another person, for example, which for me is very useful, be curious. Why would that person speak to me like that? Why would that person do this thing? What's going on in their life that makes this particular thing that is a bit much, you know, what's going on in their life that makes that the best idea they have right now? I don't know, maybe someone shouted at a coworker, or, you know, someone's being a complete asshole in public. Like, what's going on in their life that the best thing that they can think to do is that? That they have no other option except to do that. It helps me very quickly. Curiosity helps me find a way not only to self-compassion and finding my own responsibility and my own role in a situation, but it also helps me find empathy for other people. And this can also work at work. It certainly worked for me one day when I lost my last two jobs in the same 18 hours. I do want to tell you about that in a moment. Just take a quick break. I'll be right back.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com, code program.
Thanks for being a part of the show, talking a bit about curiosity today. For me, Curiosity Show, let's be honest, one of the greatest TV shows Australia ever made. Their YouTube channel is fantastic. I go and find Curiosity Show episodes and show them to Wolfgang. I've even had Robin Dean on the show, which was pretty epic. Curiosity's... That was the only TV show that my mum ever recorded for us. Well, I think we must have had one of the first VHS machines in Adelaide, that's for sure. And mum would record the Curiosity Show because she wanted us to watch stuff that was not just, you know, dumb, falling over splat cartoons. She wanted us to watch stuff that was engaging and taught us things. And so we would watch the Curiosity Show as kids. On this one particular VHS tape that we had. I think I taped over with the Blues Brothers or something. But curiosity for me is something that I've always enjoyed having, and I think it's extraordinarily valuable because it's a rapid shortcut to bypassing judgment or bypassing resentment. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not curious first, okay? I feel judgment and resentment like boom, I'm in it. If I'm lucky, I can take a breath and go, hang on a sec, what's happening here? I'll give you an example. When I lost two jobs in one day, and then I was functionally unemployed. I'm 40 years old, got no money, I'm living in another country. And first was Bondi Rescue. And then I lost my radio job, Hot Hits, which is a national radio show, which I'd worked really hard to get and really hard to keep. But I had an idea that I wasn't going to be able to hold on to it. And when I got the news that it wasn't coming back, my ego roared up like that final scene in the classic Sylvester Stallone film, Over the Top, which, if you haven't seen, is simply the greatest film ever made about an arm wrestling truck driver trying to win back the custody of his son. All right. So my ego's like, no. It's a really wild final scene. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but they show part of the final bits in slow motion, but they let the audio play in slow motion too. So someone who's going, yeah, goes, rrr. They did it in the feature film, regardless. My ego was not happy. So how quickly can I get curious? So what's some questions? How can I be curious about this? why would this particular business do this particular thing? Why would this particular business let me go right now and hire someone else? Is it because they don't like me? Probably not. It's not an impossibility, but there's probably a much stronger business case for this move than anything else. So what's the business case for them to let go of me? And there's a phrase that I always keep front of mind, something I learned in Los Angeles that really, really helps me in these moments. It's show business, not show friends. So if I don't get a gig or I'm replaced or the show I'm on gets canceled, I try to remember it's business. Like that amazing moment in Godfather Part 2. I never complained because it was business, and this is the business we have chosen. And when I think about why that particular radio company made that particular move, which was to let me go and hire a much younger, much hipper, much more connected to the audience person, she was amazing. When I think about that, well, of course, it made good sense, made good business sense. At the time, I was a 38-year-old divorced man who was kind of sad on the inside, and you could hear it in my voice, trying to talk about Justin Bieber songs to 12-year-olds. Nah. And of course the ratings were suffering. Of course the quality of the show was suffering because I was the wrong person for the job at that point in time. And it made good business sense to hire someone who was, she was 22 or 23, I think. She's incredibly talented. Really connected, really in there, and massive in that demographic. Of course, it makes good business sense to hire that person. I try to look at it now as like a really good blindside on Survivor. You got me. I'm no longer in it. But then you sit there on the jury and go, I've got to applaud that. That's a good move. That's a really good move. Well done. You have to. And while I'm then filled with the idea, I'll never work again, I'll never get hired again. Okay, be curious about that. How true is that? Where's the evidence for that? What's more likely, that I'll never get hired again? Or that the skill set that I've got, the talent that I have, the work that I know that I can put in combined together will probably create an opportunity for me? More likely than anything else? That's more likely. Like, it's very likely I'll need to pivot. I'll have to think about something else I can do. But when I think about what else it is that I could, when I think about what else can I do, how can I add value to people around me, the opportunities and the possibilities are far, far, far more than I'll never work again. Be curious about that, like that totality thinking of like it's black or white. Of course, look, if you keep wanting to ask questions, because one of your answers makes you feel uncomfortable on the inside, like I couldn't possibly have been fired because I wasn't doing the job properly. There has to be a cabal of break room snitches who ganged up on me. That's the only reason they would have fired. Well, really? Really? It's a little like not wanting climate change to be real because that'll mean you have to eventually have to get rid of your big petrol car. So it clearly must be a hoax. It's got to be a hoax. Like if you keep looking for answers that will justify your feeling inside, you'll probably find them. It's called confirmation bias. But when you hit that feeling, that's the clue. That's the clue to know, aha, I should ask some questions about myself here. Is there something about this truth, this reality that I'm not prepared to accept? So I keep asking questions to find a way that I don't have to feel bad on the inside, or I don't have to take responsibility, or I don't have to change. For me, that's the clue. And it goes for everything. It goes for science. It goes for relationships. It goes for everything. Why do I keep looking for answers that protect me from feeling uncomfortable or protect me from taking responsibility? Both of those things are a part of the human condition. It's uncomfortable to take responsibility when you've made a mistake. But that's why, because then we learn from it and then we generally slowly over time adjust our behavior, and so we don't make mistakes like that. Again, that's wired into us. And so is being with uncertainty. It's difficult to be with uncertainty, but that's a part of life. Like anything, it's important to work with that as well. So I'd encourage you to be a curious cat. And honestly, fuck anyone who said curiosity killed the cat. It's like being told if you don't know, vote no. Nah. Ask questions. Stay curious. You ask questions, you stay curious, you got possibility. And without possibility, what do you got? Thanks to everyone that helped me make the episode today. Thanks to Matt Sofo on audio post, Mikey Ward on video post, Tohider who made the music, Monica and Ben for keeping the lights on at OGTV. There is a mailing list. You can find it in the show notes. And if you need to get in touch with me, just jump in the DMs on Instagram. That's where I normally am. On Wednesday, we're back here with Tracy Hall. You may know her name. She asked a lot of questions about things that didn't feel too right at home for her. And boy, oh boy, did she get some answers. It is an incredible chat. I can't wait for you to hear it. See you Wednesday.